Brother Arnold, we're going to start on the Sabbath, and I've got a question for you right off the bat. You know, some people, they just really don't understand the lunar system and the count. So tonight we're going to go into the mathematics of the lunar and tell them exactly how the count. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that take issue with the lunar Sabbath. And yet when they do, they have to override the scriptures to do so. And someone that does that, Brother Arnold, is not very wise in the word to turn their feet from the law of Yahweh and walk in another direction. And, you know, the Bible said, there is not another gospel, but there are some that trouble you, perverting the gospel. Now, let me ask you here. Here it says we're dealing with the Exodus 13, 6 and 7. Now listen to me, Brother Arnold, and I want you to elaborate. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven with thee in all thine quarters. Now, a person that would normally read verse 6 of Exodus 13 and conclude that it is speaking of the first 7 days, which is the 15th of unleavened bread, and the second is the 21st of Abib, or the seventh day of the festival. Now, I want you to explain, Brother Arnold, why that this is inadequate interpretation by those that do so. First, the context up until now has been singled out as a specific day that Yahweh should have us to remember in a special manner. Secondly, the seventh day mentioned in verse 6 is singled out as a feast or as a shag. There is no place in the inspired scriptures where the 21st is singled out as being a holy day or a festival day, which would be a high holy day. Brother Arnold, can you elaborate on that for just a moment?
Yeah, certainly. But first let me say that the reason a lot of people do what they do is because they try to answer the matter before they hear it. In other words, they really don't understand the lunar weeks and lunar months that was originally kept before the solar months and solar weeks came in. And they try to answer the matter, and before they get all the facts, they jump to conclusions to try to protect their tradition or their doctrine. And therefore, they fall into vain worship. In this case, Saturday and Sunday is another type of solar worship. They're just counting 1 through 7 over and over again instead of doing what the scripture clearly teaches in Leviticus 23. He said, these are my feasts, and that word feast is moedim or appointments, holy convocations. And they're worship moeds or holy convocations. And then in Psalms 104:19, he said he appointed the moon for moeds, our appointments, our holy convocation, worship days. Well, instead of just believing that, that the weekly Sabbath is a feast, or a moed, and the moon is for moeds, or feast, they try to disprove it. In other words, they go and try to ramble around through there because it's their tradition. They can't have the moon for their moeds on the weekly moeds. They'll say it's for all the other moeds, but not the weekly moeds.
Correct.
So they try to answer the matter before they hear it, Brother Buddy. And on this right here, it's conclusive evidence, what you're talking about in Exodus 13:6, I believe there, where he said, and the cog, or that Hebrew word feast there is not moedim, it's cog. They had three cogs a year. You had one on the 15th in the first month of unleavened bread. Then you had another at Pentecost, and then you had another in the seventh month on the 15th. Well, this 15th is always referred to all throughout the scripture as a feast, as it says right there, a cog. It's the first day of unleavened bread. And when he said the cog, or the feast, the cog is in the seventh day, he talking about the seventh day of the feast. See, the seventh day back then was a household term, just like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
When you say seventh day today, people think of Saturday.
Right.
Well, when you said it back then, they thought of one of the phases of the moon, you know, the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. It was just common knowledge. And so here you got a certain day. And this is real provable. You need to read our article on it in our little book. But what it is, that just like in Psalms 81 said, blow up the trumpet in the new moon at the full moon on your solemn feast day. That word again is cog, and it's on the 15th. It's never ever referred to as the last day of the feast. As a matter of fact, when you read the chapter before and after, he said it show your son in that day that I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Well, we know that was talking about the 15th when he brought him out of the land of Egypt, right? Well, you don't do that on the last day of the feast or the 21st day of the feast, Brother Buddy. You do it when your son say, what meaneth this? He's going to do it at the beginning when you killing the Passover lamb and you eat it that night with unleavened bread and you make a feast of dancing and rejoicing and all this. And he asked, you know, what meaneth this? You tell him this. It's the cog to Yahweh. And the cog is in the seventh day. Now, the Septuagint says is on the seventh day. And just like Philo, who actually lived, who was a Levite priest who actually lived at that time, teaches that there's two seventh days in these seven-day feasts. One seventh day begins the feast and comes before the six working days. The other comes on the seventh day after six working days. In other words, talking about the seventh day of the feast. Well, the cog ain't in the seventh day of the feast, which is the 21st. The cog is on the 15th. I challenge anybody to show where they was the 21st was ever referred to as a cog. Now, the whole feast itself has been called the cog, the whole 7 days.
Right.
But this is talking about a singular day when it says the cog is in the seventh day.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't talking about the whole 7 days. It's a particular day that the cog is in. The cog means a victim, Brother Buddy, or something that's killed. You know, the Passover lamb is eaten on the 15th, killed on the 14th, between the evenings.
Wait a minute, Brother Arnold. Did you say between the evenings?
Yes, sir. It's killed somewhere around 3 o'clock. According to both, you know, scripture,
okay.
That's between the evening. It's a different Hebrew word than evening. There's a between the evening, and then there's an evening that begins and ends the day.
Right on, brother.
And so when you kill the Passover between the evenings on the 14th, and you eat it that night with unleavened bread, see, the unleavened bread is from the 14th day at evening, and that means the end of the day there, through the 21st day at evening.
That's
you eat
exactly
unleavened
right.
bread for 7 days. So the 14th day at evening is when it gets dark there and begins the 15th. That's when you eat the lamb with unleavened bread. And you eat it for unleavened bread for 7 days. But the cog or the lamb, the victim, the sacrifice, is on the 15th.
Amen.
And that's what it's talking about. But yet here it calls it the seventh day. See, what it's saying, the cog is in the seventh day. Remember the scripture over, I think it's Exodus 20. He said, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath, the Shabbat, the Sabbath of rest." And it's that's what it is. It calls it the seventh day.
All right, now let me ask you a question.
Seventh day is the Shabbat. Well, here it's called it the cog, the seventh day, which is true.
All right, let me ask
you. Another place, Philo said it's the seventh day of 7 days, Brother Buddy.
Okay, now let me ask you.
He lived at the time the temple was still standing, lived at the time of the Messiah, but go ahead.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question right there at that point. Now, you determine, let me read a scripture, and then you can reiterate that, because we want people to understand the mathematics here and the formula. This is in Joshua chapter 5. I'll give it as an example, and it begins at verse 10 through 12. Now, the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after that they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Now, let's come back here and reiterate. You said that the Passover began on the evening of the 13th, and it started between the evenings at the twilight, at the last evening. That was the Passover begin, and it ended at the next evening, which would have been on the 14th at the going down of the sun. Remember that they took the Messiah down at 3 o'clock, and they had to have him in the tomb at least by 6:30 or 7 o'clock because the evening drew on. And on the sun time, you see they've changed time, but on the sun time, it would have been the sunset in the evening there when he should have been entombed. Okay, that would have begun the 15th day. Now, the meal that they were to eat was not on the 14th day. They did not touch that meal. They prepared it on the work day, and the 15th was a high holy day, and they ate the meal in the evening. It was an evening meal, Brother Arnold, on the beginning of the 15th day. Is that correct?
Yes, that evening, that night, that's the day what they call the death angel, really Yahweh, passed over the destroyer. You know, came through the land of Egypt. It was actually that night about midnight, which is on the 15th.
Correct.
And that Passover was killed the day before between the evenings around 3 o'clock on the 14th. And they eat it that night, you know, with unleavened bread.
Okay, now explain to the people that you see our problem, Arnold. We're trying to superimpose our thoughts over a veiled mind that's got the Gregorian calendar in their mind. We have to superimpose the correct dates. So when you're saying the 15th day is the day that they ate the meal, they would have eaten it after the sun went down on the evening of the 14th. It would begin the 15th day. That would have been the 15th day. Now, on the morrow after the Sabbath is when they begin their count for Pentecost. Is that right? And they were to number.
Right, right. They begin the count on the 16th. It's the same thing over in Exodus 16 when the Sabbath was first made known to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabbath, it's an absolute. Nobody can intelligently argue against that the Sabbaths were on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th.
Okay.
And just like Yahweh had told them that he told them that they were going to eat flesh between the evenings, and what that's talking about is when it got dark. See, that evening, there's just one evening in a day.
Okay.
And between the evenings is between the evening of that day and between the evening of the next day. Now you have a between the evenings before sunrise here in Exodus 16, and you also have a between the evenings at the going down of the sun. Now, that's when the Passover lambs kill between the evenings at the going down of the sun. See, the sun reaches its apex, you know, around 12 o'clock, and then it starts its downward slope. So you got a between the evenings during when the sun is going down, but you got a between the evenings before sunrise, and Exodus 16 proves it. And as a matter of fact, we got a whole chapter in our booklet on that, and even got a Saturday Sabbath scholar named, hold on, let me look at my notes. I got some notes right here on that. His name is Calder, I think it is, and he describes how that Dr. Fred R. C-O-U-L T-E-R. He gives a witness about the Hebrew and the Masoretic text, you know, on this particular. He does a thing on Exodus 16.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows how that the children of Israel, that Yahweh spoke to them on the 15th day. That not that they were traveling or anything. King James make it look like they were traveling. Of course, the Septuagint said that was when he spoke to them. Here's what Dr. Coler reads, if you got a minute. You want me to read this to you?
Well, yes, sir.
He says he reads the same in the Septuagint, and you can verify this. In the Septuagint, it'll tell you how it reads here. It says the presence of a major logical pause between the verb came and the words on the 15th day verifies this fact. He says this logical pause is denoted by the use of the A-T-N-A-H, the acronym, which resembles an upside-down V.
Okay.
He says under the Hebrew word for Sinai, the presence of the logical pause in Exodus 16:1 shows that Israel had come to the wilderness of sin and made camp by the beginning of the 15th day. In other words, a lot of people try to say they were traveling on the 15th there, and it do look like that in the Hebrew text there, or the King James, but he's showing how it's the Hebrew don't read that way. Now listen, realizing he's still saying, and this is a Saturday keeper man, and he don't even believe they were traveling there on the 15th. He believes in the weekly Sabbath. But anyhow, what people ought to say, a lot of people try to argue that the Sabbath wasn't on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, and it really shows the ignorance when they do that, because even listen to this, brother buddy, even if they were traveling on the 15th, which they wasn't, but let's say they were,
okay,
the 16th was still the first day of manna, because it says that they would get flesh between the evenings. That was once it got dark, the quails came, because the next verse there in Exodus 16, it says, and at evening, but it don't use the word now for between the evenings.
Exactly.
When Aaron and them said at evening you'll get the quail. So when that word is for evening that ends the day, in other words, not between the evenings, but once the day ends, the quail comes. So they didn't get no quail till the day end, because it's 15th of weekly Sabbath. Then they got quail and they eat them between the evenings. Talking about between that evening before sunrise and the next evening that would end the day. So what happened, brother buddy, is it says, and at evening the quail came. Now listen carefully. You can't eat no quail before they come. And they didn't come to evening that ends the day.
Amen, brother.
Okay, and then it says, and in the morning. Now
amen.
Listen carefully.
Listen.
In the morning of that same evening, the end of the day, in that same morning, so you got evening and morning.
Right on.
The day begins and ends at evening. So they got quail, they clean, they cook, whatever, that evening, and they eat them between the evenings before sunrise. And in the morning was the 16th day. That was the first day of manna. Now listen carefully. So it don't matter if they were traveling or not, which they wasn't, and I'll show you, I'll finish reading this scholar's writings on it.
Okay.
But the morning of the 16th was the first day of manna. Now listen to this. That was the 16th. The second day of manna was the 17th. Then you had the 18th. That's the third day of manna.
Okay.
19th, fourth day of manna. The 20th is the fifth day of manna. The 21st is the sixth day of manna, because it said they gathered a certain rate daily. In other words, for six consecutive days, they gathered manna. And the sixth day of manna was on the 21st.
Amen.
And he said, you won't find it. The next day, it's the Holy Shabbat.
Amen.
Which is the 22nd. Now, nobody with two brains should try to argue against mathematical facts. It don't matter if they was traveling or what, but they got the first day of the manna on the 16th. They got people to still try to argue. I've heard people do it before.
Well,
so
they're still doing it, Brother Arnold. In light of the truth, they try to override with their traditions and their misunderstanding. And the Bible said we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It's somebody that's not praying here. Let me read you a scripture.
And what they should do right there, Brother Buddy, they should just say, and I have people do this, and I told them this is what they should do. They should just say it just happened to fall, the traditional Sabbath. They should say it just happened to fall here on this day. You know, it's a 1 in 7 chances. You know, it could have fell here.
Right.
That's what they should say, because let me finish reading what Dr. Colton said here on that.
Go ahead.
He said, realizing this from both the Hebrew and the Greek of the Septuagint, we see that there is no justification for those who insist that the traveling took place on the 15th day of the second month. Thus, we should look elsewhere for the reason of this particular day of the moon being mentioned in the chapter. That deals with the Sabbath observance. He said Exodus 16:4-5 gives us the response to the Israelites murmuring. Here's what it says. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. In other words, he's going to check them out. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And then he says, here we see that Yahweh is going to rain bread from heaven for the Israelites, and the verses are very specific in saying that every day the children of Israel will go out and gather the bread. In other words, it's consecutive gathering.
Right.
And now, for a total of 6 days, this was to be done, and on the sixth day, they are to prepare that bread which they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather daily. It says an interesting thing to point out here is that at the beginning of the chapter, there is no mention of them gathering double the amount of the bread, but rather that after they prepared it would be twice as much. That's why Yahweh would miraculously multiply the bread he rained from heaven. Their only obligation was to gather it for 6 days. He said the significance of this multiplying will soon become apparent, Exodus 16:6-7, and then had Moses and Aaron say it.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at evening. Now this is what Moses and Aaron said.
Amen.
This word evening is talking about when it ends the day.
Right.
Now listen. At evening, then you shall know that Yahweh have brought you out from the land of Egypt. In other words, you ain't going to know it till evening when you see this miracle. But at evening, talking about the end of the day. And in the morning, talking about the next morning of that evening, then you shall see the glory of Yahweh. For he heareth your murmurs against Yahweh. And what are we that you murmur against us? Now see, you can't eat no quail that come, but when they come that evening, then they going to eat them between the evening.
Right.
And in the morning of that same, you know, between the evening,
right,
they'll eat the first day of manna. It says it's the unleavened bread of the mention of this evening and morning is found further down in verse 11:13. It says, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurs of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh. Now this word is the Hebrew word for between the evening. And in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Well, what morning is he talking about? Let's say they eat, that the quail don't come according to Aaron and Moses till it gets evening, 15 ends.
Right.
Then they get the quail, and then they eat them between the evening, and in the morning, it's definitely talking about the 16th. I didn't mean to get too much all in this, but it goes on and tells, and this guy is a guy that keeps, you know, he's not going to twist the scripture. I guess he says that the Sabbath was here. Now, he's not arguing the point that, you know, Lunar Sabbath. He probably ain't never even heard of Lunar Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
But he does know that the children of Israel were not traveling on the weekly Sabbath.
Amen. Well, let me ask.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to get.
Okay. Well, I want to read
it. There's more to it here, but we go on whatever you say.
Well, let me read a scripture to sort of confirm what you said here. It's in the 13th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah's contending with these unbelieving Hebrews here because they won't keep the Sabbath. They're profaning it. And you know, Brother Arnold, a good way to profane the Sabbath is to is to incorrectly give people a day to worship when they shouldn't worship on that day. I'll give you an example. If we count the 15th day as a Sabbath, and the Bible would conclude it is a Sabbath day. Well, we can't count two Sabbaths within a week, because to keep a Sabbath, you've got to work 6 days. Is that correct?
Right. That's the scriptural definition of Sabbath.
All right. I'm gonna count now. Let's do some math here. The 15th was the day of unleavened bread that you were just talking about, and then that evening, the quail came in, and the morning they found the land covered with the quail, right?
Well, what happened is the quail came that evening, according to Moses and Aaron. That ends the 15th. See, the 15th was a weekly Sabbath, and he told them they would eat manna between the evenings, but you can't eat no, I mean quail, I'm sorry, but you can't eat no quail till they get there. Mm-hmm. And he didn't get there till the end of the day. Yahweh's not going to put no quail out there for them kill, clean, and cook on the weekly Sabbath.
That's my point exactly. All right, now the 16th day would be day one. That's not a weekly Sabbath day. That's the first work day.
That's the first work day of gathering manna, too.
That is correct. All right, the 17th day would be day two, correct?
Right.
And the 18th day would be day three.
Right.
The 19th day would be day four.
Right.
And the 20th day would be day five.
Right.
And the 21st day, which some people say that was a Sabbath day on the 21st.
That's the sixth day of manna.
That's the sixth day of manna, and the 22nd, which would be the eighth day or the next Sabbath, which is 7 days after the 15th, we keep a Sabbath on the 22nd. And that's exactly how they done it, Brother Arnold.
All right. And when you got back the other way, back toward the new moon, you'll find out that the second day of the moon was the first day of the week. They didn't count the new moon in one of the six working days. The new moon was a worship day, and then they counted their six working days, and they rested the seventh day, which would be the eighth day of the month and the seventh day of the week.
That's almost a checkmate way of mathematically concluding, counting forward and backwards, which is what you've got to be able to do.
We go through all this in our little booklet, Brother Buddy. People need to get that booklet. We'll give you a way to get it here at the end of the broadcast here. And it's free, posted page, and it explains all this. We have spent several hours now here making tapes showing all the reasons and positive proof that the weekly Sabbath was determined by the moon. Now, we could do another 5 or 6 hours showing that they don't have any conclusive evidence from Scripture or history. In other words, their lack of proof. Think of this. Did you know that they do not have any Scripture to start with, where you just can't count from 1 through 7 over and over and over? That ain't how you find yourself a day.
Amen.
But neither do they have any historical evidence that goes back to the time of the temple, where anybody ever kept a week like they're suggesting. In other words, you had at some point in time, somebody, and we can trace back and see that Julius Caesar was the culprit, and Daniel prophesied that they would think to change times and laws. So
Amen.
At some point in history, what they done, Brother Buddy, is they created a solar month. In other words, the month used to be by the moon from one lunation to another.
Amen.
In other words, it was by the great lights of Genesis 1:14, where he said, let them be for your days and years and your appointments or signs and seasons.
Amen.
So, but at some point in time in history, you can pinpoint it, look in any calendar, encyclopedia under calendar, and you'll see that Julius Caesar said, let's don't use the moon anymore in calculating the calendar. So they created a solar month, which also created a solar week. But before this, they had lunar months and lunar weeks.
Oh.
This is why when people count the Pentecost, the 7 weeks before they number the 50 days to Pentecost, their first 2 weeks are lunar. In other words, they start to count on the morrow after the 15th day of the moon, which would be the 16th. That's the first day of their lunar week, just like we're explaining here. These are the weeks. But what I was saying is you cannot find, and I've challenged this, I've, last 10 or 12 years, no one can carry back and find where they observed that the Hebrew were observing solar months and solar weeks at the time the temple was still standing, at the time of the Messiah. Now, we've got conclusive evidence from people that lived back then. One, Philo, who was a Levite priest, who clearly taught lunar Sabbaths, and he lived at the time the Messiah, not only the temple still standing, but at the time of the Messiah lived.
Amen.
And he taught, and he's the one that says that you got 2 7th days. Now, he's talking about the fourth commandment, 7th day, saying. Mm-hmm. You got a 7th day that begins these feasts, talking about the 15th, and then the 7th day of the feast itself. And he said you have a full moon at the end of the 2nd week. In other words, that's the 15th. He said the full moon's on the 15th. So he don't speak of no solar week. All of his writings refers to lunar weeks, and the same as people that counted there. And people don't want to, for some reason, well, I know it was from the tradition, they don't want to accept that the months and weeks were originally lunar. You take the sun and the moon to make his calendar. But they want to use the sun only for the days and years. Of course, we know the sun's for the days and years. Mm-hmm. But they want to use them for the appointments. And Psalms 104:19 said he appointed the moon for appointments.
Amen. Amen.
My goodness, the week of Sabbath is appointment.
Amen.
But they say no.
Well, Brother Arnold, the word is still true. I don't care what they say. It's not what they say, it's what the Word says, and it's faithful people that are willing to change and come out of their tradition or their own ways and accept the ways of the Word. Now, let me show you a scripture here that is going to reach you in Nehemiah chapter...
Truth's the truth, no matter if nobody believes it. And a lie is a lie, no matter if everybody believes it.
Well, as they say, the truth is stranger than fiction, but I guarantee you, if you get the truth, you will be in a minority. You will not be the majority. And it came to pass, this is verse 19, Brother Arnold, of Nehemiah chapter 13. It confirms what you said about the Sabbath beginning in the evening. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem begin to be dark, before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be open till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath. And now, Brother Arnold, what they were doing here in Nehemiah, they were bringing in those days, Judah were treading the winepress and on the Sabbath day, and they were bringing in the sheaves, and they were lading their asses with wine and grapes and figs and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I testified against them in that day wherein they sold the victuals. Now, he closed the gate at dark before the Sabbath. So the Sabbath begins the evening of the 14th. The 15th would be the Sabbath. And if you count from the 15th to the 22nd, you've got a correct Sabbath count. And these people that can't count, they try to count 2 Sabbaths in 7 days, the 15th and the 21st. And Arnold, it just won't add up.
No, you got 2 Sabbaths in 8 days. See, I was telling one brother, I said from Sabbath to Sabbath is 8 days. He said, no, it ain't. It's 7 days. I said, no, it's 8 days from Sabbath to Sabbath. Or from new moon to Sabbath is 8 days. He said, no, it's not. And I finally, it took me about 30 minutes, but how I finally got, I said, look, from Sunday to Saturday is how many days? He said, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He said, 7 days. I said, well, if Sunday to Saturday is 7 days, then Saturday to Saturday is 8 days. And it took me a while to get him to see it. Josephus even said the priest in the temple, they they went from Sabbath to Sabbath 8 days.
Well, that's the way you count. That's correct.
And, but some people, they get it in their mind something, and you can't talk to them. They won't listen. They go into a teaching mode, and they want to teach you something when they should be listening. And if they would listen, Brother Buddy, just like we're talking about in Exodus 16 there, it don't matter if they was traveling or not. They wasn't, but even if they was, in the morning is the first day of manna, and it's going to be on the 16th. Because he didn't speak to them till on the 15th. Now listen carefully.
Okay.
If he speak to them till the 15th and told them, and you read it right there in Exodus 16 and 1. So he spoke to them on the 15th and told them that between the evenings they would eat flesh, but the quail didn't come till the according to Aaron and Moses till it got dark, and then they eat the flesh between the evenings. So you got the evening that ends the day, then you got another evening over here that ends that day. So anywhere between there is between the evenings. You got a between the evenings before sunrise. This is what the scholar was bringing out here, and then you got a between the evenings and the going down to the sun, like Deuteronomy 16, I think it is, said that they killed the Passover on the 14th day at the going down of the sun. In other
Amen.
Words, the sun started its downward apex. And both Josephus and Philo say that this was around 12 to 3 o'clock, somewhere right in there, 3 o'clock on down, you know.
Right.
And but anyhow, my point is this. If he didn't speak to them till the 15th, and he said, in the morning you're going to eat get manna, that's got to be talking about the 16th. That's your first day of manna. And so you get it for 6 days, which brings you to the 21st. And then he said, you ain't going to find it the next day, which is the 22nd. He said, because that's the Holy Shabbat. It was then and it is now.
Amen.
And people, believe it or not, I've had people argue against that. And there it is in their face. But what they should say is, hey, it just happened to fall here. But they don't even want it to fall there.
No, they don't. Well, you know, Brother Arnold, the Bible said they always resist the Holy Ghost. And these people that claim the Holy Ghost and put themselves up for teachers and come on and hide behind, you know, they get behind something that they have written. They won't publicly debate it where you can counter what they say at the time they say it, because simply they try to get that across, and it muddles the pond, so to speak, and you got to wait for clear water to see the bottom of the pond. Well, when they muddle this water with their miscalculations, just like they say, okay, now truly the 15th was a Shabbat. And we know it was a high holy Sabbath. And if you take the lunar applications of 8, 15, from 8 to 15, Brother Arnold, is 8 days.
Right, absolutely.
And it gives you a 8-day count with a 6-day between. Now, we're counting both days. We're counting 8 and 15. And 6 between, 6 working days between them two Sabbaths gives you the proper way to keep a Sabbath. And you can't do it on a 7-day count. It just will not work.
No. You've got 6 work days in between there. You got 6 work days, then you rest the 7th day. And so when you rest the 7th day, if you count, just like the tabernacles, the 15th is the first day of tabernacles, and then you got 6 work days between there. And then you rest the 7th day, it'll be on the 22nd, which is the 8th day if you count the 15th. So your 15th to the 22nd is the 8th day. That's when he said, and on the 8th day you have a holy convocation.
Exactly.
But it's really the 7th day after the 6 work days. You got your 15th, which is a weekly Sabbath, 6 work days, and then you rest the 7th day of the week, which is the 8th day counting from the 15th. I know that's probably confusing to some people, but now there's some good people that just, I don't know, they just won't listen, and they can't see this, and they're too busy trying to answer the matter and defend their doctrine just like the scripture says that they would do. And hopefully one day he'll wake them up, Brother Buddy. Or maybe if somebody that's even listening to us can see it and can explain it to them. You know what I'm saying? Well, I may not can explain it to somebody. Somebody else may can.
Well, now, Brother Arnold, you know good and well that we are not, we're not traditional keepers. The calendar that people use, the Gregorian calendar, we've gone over this, and you did a very good job of explaining the inadequacies of the Gregorian, like the international dateline and the factors that I read about factored in every 4 years, and this law applies, and then every 100 years you have to apply another law. See, this is mathematical deduction by those who sought to change the times and laws. If you come back to the lunar calendar, and we were all keeping a standard monthly calendar of a lunar cycle, there would be no confusion. What we've got to do is when we explain people, because their thought process is geared to the Gregorian calendar, so we've got to superimpose our thoughts, and it's very difficult to do so. Lunar calendar is very simple. It's 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29 through the cycle systems. And then the month cycles out, and let's say that the Sabbath, Brother Arnold, ended on the 29th, okay? Now, we got a new moon coming in on the 30th, okay? Now, the 31st. Here on the 30th, there is a day between the 29th and the 30th. Neither one of these is going to fit into the Gregorian system of their beginning their new count. That's why that they throw the moon out. Well, what we do here, we observe the 29th, the 30th, and the 31st because there's no 6 working days between those dates. In other words, the new moon comes in on, let's say, on the 31st, and the Sabbath is on the 29th of that lunar month, the particular month that we're leaving, and we're beginning a new count system. Well, Yahweh did that throughout by showing the people. He talked about the 8th day. He talked about the 15th day. He talked about the 22nd day. He talked about the 29th day of the calendar. And so the calendar has been changed very efficiently by the Gregorian, Gregory and Anthony all of these agents of deception. And Brother Arnold, what they have done is they have profaned the actual true Sabbath and turned the truth of Yahweh into a lie, cast that truth to the ground. And see, we have to pick it up out of the dust of the earth and come back and superimpose the true dates on a Gregorian calendar to explain to people what day it is by the lunar compared to the Gregorian.
Where they mess up, Brother Buddy, is they do exactly what Yahweh teaches them not to do in Ezekiel 46:1. And, you know, he says and teaches right there that there's 3 categories of days. You've got your 6 working days each week, but then you've got your new moons and Sabbath. And he says that the gates that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon, which teaches that your Sabbath and the day of the new moon is not counted when counting out the 6 work days. So at the end of each month, on your last Sabbath, on the 29th, like, you know, I was telling you how these people count the Pentecost,
right,
from the lunar weeks.
Correct.
The first day of the first week begins on the 16th, comes after the 15th. Well, these first 2 lunar weeks, the Sabbath is on the 22nd and 29th. But what they do, they switch over from because of their traditioned mind, All that's in their mind, all they know is a solar week of 1 through 7. They don't know that the moon breaks up the 6 working days and the count begins anew. So instead of leaving the gates open on the new moon when it comes to the Sabbath on the 29th, and it says leave the gates open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon, and then you begin to count your 6 working days, and then your next 7th day Sabbath will be on the 8th day of the next month. But that's where they mess up. They do exactly what Ezekiel teaches them not to do. They count the new moon worship day as an ordinary work day, as one of the six work days. Working days, and people need to go to Ezekiel and look at it, and many other scriptures, like, you know, clearly teaches in Genesis 1:14 to let them be for your appointments. Talking about the sun and the moon, but they want to boot the moon out of it except for the annual feast days.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is talking about that people say there it wasn't no, they hadn't left Egypt for the annual feast days. The only feast day there in Genesis was the weekly feast day, which comes after six work days.
Exactly.
Where time's getting away. You know, an hour goes quick.
Boy, you know, it just flies. You know, Arnold, you brought up an important point there. They refuse to keep the new moon appointment, and we often refer to that scripture, which to me is very terrifying for those who would fail to. Now the Bible said, take heed to any of those who have an unbelieving heart, fail to enter into the rest. Now let's go back and find out what the rest is. In Isaiah 66 verse 23, he says, from one new moon to the other, and from one Sabbath to the other. So in the times that we're going to worship in the new millennial kingdom, it's going to be a lunar calendar system, just like it is now, Brother Arnold. It's been changed, and although the world don't recognize it, Yahweh don't recognize the world's way, because he said his heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. Well, if you look up to the moon, which is high above the Gregorian calendar, they brought this simplicity of the Gregorian down, and everybody will get up in the morning and say, oh, it's Thursday. Well, to us, it's the second work day, because we just had a new moon change, and today is our second work day, Brother Arnold. But very few people are honoring the new moon observance and keeping it, and then honoring the Sabbath. In other words, you would work 6 days after a new moon, and you would keep the Sabbath. So if you honor day one of the month, not a weekly count, Brother Arnold, it's a monthly count, because Yahweh said today is the first day of the month. Well, if he designed the heavens in seven continuous cycle days, and then he rested, like some of the scriptures indicate that he did, he's still on that appointment process of keeping his lunar calendar application, even in Genesis 1:14 that you mentioned, where the heavens declare his glory, and he set the moon and the sun for timepieces. The sun determines the beginning of the spring equinox. You take the first moon after the equinox, and you've got your count. And that's exactly how Moses did that, and that's exactly how we're going to keep the new millennial kingdom, according to Isaiah 66, verses 22, verse 24.
His calendar self-adjusts, too. You know, most people that come against lunar Sabbaths, we like to call it creation Sabbath, because it goes all the way back to creation when it started, but they don't even keep the new moons, Brother Buddy, and what happens is, even in the New Testament there, he said, let no man therefore judge you in respect of these holy days, new moons and Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as you read a while ago in Isaiah 66, they're going to be doing it there. You got to start doing it now if you're going to be doing it over there, Sabbaths and new moons. But they don't keep the new moons day, but they did in Scripture. And, you know, all of this is on our website at lunarsabbath.info, I-N-F-O. And they can go over there and look at a lot of this, and of course you got yours and everything. But, you know, it's just irrefutable. It just, sometimes truth is hidden in simplicity.
Well, that's true. You know, Arnold, sometimes we have got so steeped in tradition, and the Bible tells us again not to learn the ways of the heathen. And we know that the Roman Catholic Church introduced Sunday worship with a calendar system that was developed in 46 B.C., and it was redone in the 13th century by Pope Gregory. And so we have that calendar by what would the Bible would describe as the Church of the Whore. In Revelation 17, she's known as the whore that sits on seven hills. Well, Rome sits directly on seven hills, and she's the one that gave the people this calendar. And even the Jews, them that calls themselves Jews, Brother Arnold, even they are taken by it. And people that are not taken by it are...
It's so hard to get them out of it, too. I debated this one brother for over 4 years, going on 5 years. Of course, we're not debating it now on this very thing. And it took me several years to get him to acknowledge that Exodus 16 is irrefutable. It's talking about the weekly Sabbath. So I finally told him, you might as well just say it fell on that day. So he finally did. But at about 4 years, they don't even want to give an inch.
Well, I'll tell you why. Let me show you something. When you
now, he still, I didn't convert him, but I did convert him on Exodus 16.
But he's still keeping the he's still keeping the Gregorian calendar, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's still going on that.
Well,
he counts from the 15th to this Pentecost. But go ahead.
Well, don't you know that the Bible says this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? Now, if you come out of the Gregorian system, and the Bible said, come out of her, my people. If you come out and start keeping the lunar calendar, your work days are going to differ from their work days, and your Sabbath and holy days are going to differ from the Gregorian holy days and Sabbath that they have determined. So, if heaven is higher than the earth, again, Yahweh has determined that if you will love Him here upon the earth and keep His commandments, that you'll love Him up there, and or in the new millennial here upon the earth, you're going to love Him here, and you're going to obey it, and you're going to keep it. So, I don't understand why that people won't sacrifice and come out of Babylon and recognize the evil that's in her. And you know, Brother Arnold, it's almost to the point where we would have to say that Saturday and Sunday is an abomination and a reproach to Yahweh.
Absolutely. That what they're doing, Brother Buddy, digging themselves a hole, you know, and it... They, what they need to do is repent and get come clean with Yahweh.
Well, now, we're going to be back Friday night, Brother Arnold. We're going to finish up our Sabbath series. And then, if you will and care to join me next week, we're going to go into the name series. We'd like to do a series of examples on the name that they have set aside also. Not only did they change times and laws, they changed his name, Brother Arnold. And they did it in such a way that it would deceive even the very elect. And it had me, I was preaching 30 years in Jesus' name in Pentecostal movement. And I'd been a Baptist boy in the Protestant movement for years prior to that. So I had about 48 years, to be exact, before I ever found the true name. And then once I started using that true name, I come out from the many and joined a few. Well, when I got into the Sabbath, Brother Arnold, I came out from the many and joined a few. So straight is the way and narrow's the gate, and how many? A few there be that find it. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, we didn't really get into Pentecost too much, and that's one of the things that really proves Lunar Sabbath. But I'll talk on it tomorrow. What time am I broadcast at 9?
You'll be on tomorrow night at 9:30. You're going to be on Friday night.
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday, ain't it?
No, tomorrow's Thursday. You're going to be on tomorrow. You're going to be on Friday night right after me. On WWRB 3.185. I come on at 9:30. I go off at 10:30. You go on at 10:30, and you then to 11, and then Brother Randall Biscott, from up in the great state of Michigan, he'll be on there at 11 o'clock, and that's our time schedule for Friday. And we'll see what we can do on this. We need to have maybe a couple of messages on the Count of Pentecost. If we could get those in there and deal strictly on that. If you want to, we've got a couple of minutes here that Dave has very graciously give us here, Brother Arnold, to carry over. And give your website, give the time schedules, and mention again You've written, you and Matthew have written a great little booklet on weekly Sabbath days or determined by the moon, and it's very simple. It's very simplistic, but it's just full of examples of the lunar calendar.
Our website, buddy, is lunarsabbath.info, I-N-F-O, lunarsabbath.info. And the times, this Roman calendar's got me all messed up on times. But we're on WWRB at, I was thinking we're on Tuesday night and Friday night, somewhere between 8 and 9.
You're on Tuesday night at 9:30.
You people out there, listen all the way through, and you'll catch us.
All right.
But anyhow, phone number if you want free information, and ask for the tape, 7001 Reasons Why His Name Can't Be Jesus. Ask for our proof that the true weekly Sabbaths are determined by the phases of the moon. The phone number, area code 770-483-8542. This is live. You can call us tonight, 770-483-8542.
And we'd like to invite people that if they would like to write for information to Pastor Buddy, you can do so by simply addressing your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Now, if you'd like to email me, it's buddy1@centurytale.net. Our website is oneyahweh.com. That's www.oneyahweh.com. And if you would like to call us, area code 423-626-2172. Brother Arnold, I've enjoyed it. Man, you talk about time flying and getting on out of here. We've had a time of our life here tonight in explanation. It would be nice if people would, you know, just learn to count. And by doing so, maybe it would be a blessing for those that if they did learn to count, that we would have a more understanding on the great name. All right, we're going to come in here, Brother Arnold, and we're going to say good night to you down in Conyers, Georgia. I'll see you, ladies and gentlemen, Friday night on WWRB 3.185 at 9:30 on Friday night. We'll see you then, and may Yahweh richly bless you. Brother Arnold will be on at 10:30 with the breach, the repair of the breach, and we'll see you then with more information on the Word of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you richly, and may He keep you until we see you again.